to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
I want to quickly encourage all of you on something I've been meditating on faithfulness. In Matthew chapter number 25, right, the Bible talks about the parable of the servants. There were three, right? One was given 5 talents, one was given 2, then one was given 1. The Bible says each one was given according to his own ability, and then the master went to a far country to receive the kingdom. And then the Bible says, and to the one who was given 5 talents, he works them. And they became how many?
10.
And then to the one who received 2, he works them and they became? Yeah. I thought you read the Bible. At least, just this is RAE stuff. The one who had 2, what did he do? Huh? Yo, you need us. Okay, and the one who had 1 buried it. Okay, so when the master came, he said to the one who had 5 and he had multiplied them to 10, well done, good and you've been faithful in few things, I'll make you Lord over many. Enter then the joy of thy Lord. When you are faithful in little, what you will notice is that there will be multiplication of responsibility that God will give you. That's the first thing you notice. But in fact, it's not the first thing you notice. What you notice is, he says, you are faithful in little, I'll make you Lord over many. And then he tells him, enter the joy of your father. Then he says, the first thing you notice is that there's a joy. A lot of people ask me the question, how do you manage? You've got so much that you're doing. There's so much on your plate. Like as I'm talking to you, I'm not overdressed because I was coming for this gig. I'm like literally coming from a day job at a law firm. But at the same time, I'm recording an album, I'm writing a book, I'm running a ministry, I'm a husband, I'm a father. There's so much going on. There's really, really so much that's going on in my life. But then the more that my responsibility grows, I notice the more joy I have. I was sharing with you a scripture where the Bible says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, take my yoke and learn from me, for I am easy and lowly of heart. It says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the first thing you get when you come to Jesus is that he gives you a yoke and a burden. I thought you were saying, give me rest. But the first thing he does is that he gives you a burden and his yoke, except he's saying, mine are light. But there are still burdens in any case. But they are light and they are easy. Because men were naturally created to carry burdens. But what determines the kind of rest you're going to have is the burden that you carry. There are some works that you do and you find rest in doing those jobs. I'll tell you this. There are many of you who are studying law and you're excited to study law. But when you get into a law firm, you now realize burden is too much. Because you realize that all the affidavits you learn in class is different from the practice. You're going to be dealing with thugs. People who, it's not like you're going to be dealing with Kabolik Smoke Company. You'll be dealing with all these guys, Chandanake had a company, they were transporting charcoal and all these things, and you're just, you go to a judge, the judge has been, okay, they don't get paid. But you know what? Then you realize, Nalimka Bukuzonai. You find reality, and then you see your boss wants you to work 9 to 5, then they are paying you a 5 pin. It's just a lot. Then you're going to find, this is not what I wanted. Now you are envying your friend who didn't study as much as you did. And what they are doing is they are just doing like a business, and at least they're making a 9 pin per month. You get my point? So you find that the burden that you carry is going to determine the rest that you experience. And the burden I want to talk about is the burden of serving God. You see, the moment that a person is, some of you just don't know, but if there's no way in which you serve God, your burden is really heavy. Because Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you my burden and I'll give you my yoke. He says they are light. The more I did more things for God, the more rest I had. In fact, me, when I sleep, I don't sleep as much as many of you people sleep. Some of you people sleep. Someone said my hobby, I like to sleep and eat. Okay, are you even serious? You know, there's a difference between sleeping and resting. I've met people who sleep long hours, but they wake up restless. Me, when I sleep 24 hours and I wake up, I have to get ready. Whether I'm doing anything, I wake up 6 hours. I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. And then I work the whole day and sleep the same time. You ask that guy sitting in the corner in yellow, he's worked with me the past few weeks. He has seen how my schedule is. There are times when I'm going back home at 04 because maybe we're at the studio. And then in the morning, I have to go to the law firm and work. Then in the night, again, we have to go to the studio. Because remember, there was a guy who was given how many talents? 5. Yet he was given 24 hours together with the one who was given 1 talent. Some of the laziest people are the ones who don't have much to do. They are so lazy. Oh my. And then when he came, he said, you lazy and wicked. You wicked and lazy servant. So you think you are just lazy. You are wicked. Yeah, because they will say, no, me, I was just lazy. Then the angels will say, no, same WhatsApp group. Because that's what he said to the one who buried the talent, right? But the point I make is, all of us, we need to find a way of serving God with our gifts, with our talents, with our responsibilities. One of the purposes of any gift and endowment, which is heavenly, is to benefit the kingdom of God. See, God is not against giving you good things. What is against is your priorities with those things. If you want to get a law degree so that you can post on your page and say, recipse locita, stand like that. Like, who is it helping? Who is it helping? So everyone is saying, now I can commit crimes because you are my lawyer and all those things. But inside, you don't even know where to go. You don't know which law firm to go to. You are just as broke as everyone else. You know, so people do things for the face. But what's really happening in your heart? You're still laboring in vain. Anything that we have to do. It could be, I tell people, if your talent is football, why don't you form a football club in church? At least come with the brethren, play together. Let them go back home. Let them say, no, we are fit because we've been playing football with. Let it save the kingdom of God, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and this righteousness, and then things shall be added unto you. So whatever you do in word and in deed, the Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. You see, there are many people who think that God is cool because you're just doing things that are humanity does not amount to holiness. The fact that you slept the whole day and did not sin does not mean you've done anything for the kingdom of God. There are things that you have to do for the kingdom of God, and you need to learn them young. What you're going to notice is every time you serve God, like you have come here to sit down, listen to the word of God, it's even getting dark. You are serving God. You find more rest in doing that than studying for 5 hours. And listen to me, as you begin to grow, you need to grow capacity to hunger for the things of God. I tell people, it's not that the church service is long, it's that your relationship with God is too short. That's where the problem is. Because you can sit at a workplace from 6 to 5. No, it's different. That's why you have a different life in the life to come. Now, what makes it different is because you are getting a salary at the end. Agreed. So why you want to leave church very early is because between you and I, you are getting nothing. So why do you go there? Why not just stop? You don't believe you are getting anything. We will see in the life to come. Stop. But here's what I'm trying to share with you. You need to grow capacity for the things of God. Grow capacity. Sit. Like you've come, like a sit. Just sit, learn, enjoy the presence of God. When you're done, go home. And you notice that even the amount of joy and rest that's coming into your spirit as a result of colliding with the word of God is higher than even people you will find. You know, there are people who, when they are studying, you left him studying, you go for sale. You come back, what you pay? And you think, they make you think, ha, what am I doing with my life? You are like, hey, Wajobi, Laka. But in your heart, you're like, is it necessary? Is it necessary? But you don't know, there are some people who study a lot because there are things that are depressing them. There are people who study a lot because there are things that are depressing them. For some people, it's because home, there's bad news, bad news, bad news. So he has to study. I was like that in grade 12. I was expelled from one school to another. So I used to study so hard out of revenge because I really wanted to prove that I'm smart. So if you follow me, you have a problem. Because you are cool. You study 2 hours, you are done. But me, if you now get drowned into my 5 hours of study, you have a problem. You just have a bitterness. You don't know where it's coming from. Because you're hanging out with me. So find rest in God. But as you find rest in God, find something to do in the kingdom of God. Find something to do for God. And do it consistently. That's faithfulness. God is not just looking for the fact that you've done one amazing thing. No. Can you imagine that the measure for rewards was faithfulness? He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness is doing the same good thing consistently over a protracted period of time. There are people who, when they come for a sale meeting like this, they are full for the next 2 months. Okay, they went the one for last month. It's like you meet this, there's this girl in your place, you greet her today, right? That's it. If she doesn't greet you back, you are done. What? Does she know me? Watch an attacking call. No, you don't greet people because they'll greet you back. You greet people because you are a good person. And the time that you say, I will not greet her because she doesn't greet me, you are denying yourself. You are saying, I've changed. Even me, I've gone down to her level. You are going. So you have to be good. Like someone says, be good to your to the people on your way up because you need them on your way down. What about the day you discover you're not going down? You'll be a bad person because now you realize for you... So you are not good to people because you need them when you are down. You are good to people because you are just a good person. Expecting nothing in return. And then do that consistently. When I find you, what's your name?
My name is Isaac.
Isaac, when I find you 40 years old, you've made money as a lawyer. You should be able to still come at UNILAS and sit, listen to the word of God, encourage the people, and go back. You know why some people are broke in this life? This, you know, having money, what it does to you. You people, you don't know money. You have $1 million sitting in your account. You come here in class, you feel like everyone is just bothering you. They don't understand you. Now, just imagine how you walk when you've got a 2-pin. Just for you. There's just a way you... There's like a piece you feel. There's a way, just a 2-pin. Pocket money. There's just a way you just say to the guys, no, don't worry, get more fritters. You know, there's just what more money? If you have a lot of money, you are getting money, you are getting paid. Serious cash. Ndimweba legal counsel. You are getting paid. And you're thinking, I don't need financial breakthrough. You are a fool. Because you think that what you need, why you go to church is for financial breakthrough. Why you pray so that you pass an exam? You need a relationship with God. And do that when you are, when you don't have, when you have a lot. There's no moment in life where you will not need God. You need God at your lowest. You need God at your highest. But God is inviting us to be faithful. In coming to worship together, be faithful. Even when there's an exam tomorrow, at least you come here for 30 minutes, then you go. Don't love God like people who say, I believed in him, but I failed. No, how can he break my heart like this? No, where was God when that boy was breaking my heart? Is it God who was saying yes when he was vibing me? Why should God pay for it? Okay. I was told I need to go. It's just that I don't know when next I'm coming here. Oh, I was told 18:45. I have 3 minutes. Let me finish. Let me finish. So, you don't blame God. There are many things that will happen that you don't understand. And don't blame God. Your relationship with God must not be based on what happens and what doesn't happen. Because if the things that happen to you or don't happen to you can change the texture of your relationship with God, those things are more God than the God you serve or you allege to serve. Yeah, because you were moving well with God until you failed your exam. So failure is your God. Because failure now took you away from your relationship with God. So which one is God? Okay, who's tougher? Between failure and God. Or maybe you've reduced God to whether you pass an exam or you your friends in the past, they were not younger than you. Most of them were your age. When they were taking the gospel to Africa, they came and died here from mosquito bites. David Livingstone died from malaria, coming to preach the gospel here. He was not a very old man. What convictions did they have? Why didn't they say, God, you've not healed me from malaria? I'll stop serving you after everything I've done. It's because your relationship with God is anchored on a conviction of the reality of the one who created you, with whom your relationship passes from this life and the life to come. You're going to stay there for 1,000 years and beyond. 1,000 is even a joke. Then that life you're going to stay there. The life you're going to stay there, right? Is determined by the short life you're going to live here. Then you want to mess up in this one. No, why did you leave your relationship with God? You're about to enter eternity now. Then they ask you, why did you want to leave your relationship? Why did you leave your relationship with God on earth? I failed. You didn't even enter the Guinness Book of World Records. The first man to have not cleared the CAT test. No one. You're not the first one. Relax. It's not fair to cap. You people, us, we failed. We failed. Matter of fact, for me, when I failed at Ziale, someone even came to tell me, you're everywhere preaching, but you're failing. Meanwhile, there's a guy called Kaira who passed one course. Me, at least I cleared 6. Now, because we have the same surname, they just took a picture and said, Mikanene. And they came for me. And they published the story. How do I even defend myself? Because I didn't want people to know I'm at Ziale. So I come out and say, I only failed 4. Now I'll be saying that I failed. So it's just to cry inside. I woke up, I went back to church, I preached a powerful sermon. In fact, for me, what happened, I remember there was this guy. He's a big guy, but so I can't tell you his name. He's a big guy in the profession. We're in class together. He comes to me, he was shivering, he was shaking. Classmate saying, man of God, please pray for me. I'm not confident about this exam. One day that happened to me. Do you know what the class was? Family law. Okay. Sometimes it's not about the lecture. It's not about the course. It's a lecturer. Our family law lecturer could give you 5%. Zero. I had 11 out of 40 CA. This guy came crying to me. He had 15 out of 40. I didn't tell him what I got. I said, no, get on your knees. The God I saved. I'll never forget this. 2015. I laid hands on the guy. Prayed for him in capital letters. I feel strengthened. I said, go thy way. The Lord be with thee. Then after he left, I now start saying to God, so, me, are you going to pray for me? And he cleared that test. I didn't clear. I didn't clear. Luckily for us at our school, there were supplementary exams. So I sneaked into a supplementary exam, wrote it, came out. No one knew. When we were all going into third year, my results had come out. We were entering together with everyone else had cleared. Praise God. Well, I didn't question God. I had no time. I had too many things to do in life. I even get depressed. Now, I understand that. But you see, but the problem with your generation, you are so sensitive. Anything just wears you down. Is it? You know what I'm going through? anything. You've seen that tree, the weeping willow. That's this generation. You get depressed so easily. Sometimes you need to say, I refuse to be depressed. You just refuse. It's a fight. You will look stupid, but go to your room and say, I refuse. I'm telling you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I just refused. It happened to me again. Third year, to fail two courses. I said, he. At my age. There's a funny code, civil procedure, something like that. The funny lecturer, he will bring you a past paper. Then he will just change one thing. Where the subordinate got 3, you put 2. So you think, many. So you write everything. He's able to handle the same. Yeah, then you are coming out with your friend like this. Then he says, you saw this. But did that lecturer, he just changed this kind of thing. You say, eh? I should have sued that man. That's how he was. Mr. Mavuto. That's his name. So when I came out with those results, I was sad for 2 minutes. I said, no, this is not my life. I went and started watching a cartoon to make myself happy. I laughed. Afterwards, I thanked God because at least I was still alive. And I went to study for my SAP exam. Wrote the SAP exam secretly, passed it, came out, everyone. The next level. Hallelujah. Like, come on, relax. There's so much to life than law school alone. It's me, I'm telling you this. I'm a lawyer, so you can trust me. And when you take it easy, then because joy is an energy. When you take it easy, you'll find more capacity to understand even more. Law is too boring. You can't study it too serious. Oh, maybe I don't know how you guys do it. Me, but I'm a guy of a serious son. All the best, and I respect that, by the way. There are people who are just like that. They're just serious. Like, mad respect. Mad respect. But No. I like my happiness. I like praying. You touch that, you touch my life. I like going to church. I like serving God. And I'll sit down for 2 hours and study. Proper, I put my WhatsApp away. Problem, you kids, you are also very distracted. We went to 3 hours by WhatsApp. What are you doing? When you're going to study, put your WhatsApp away. Just study. You find that most of you, that 5 hours you take to study, you compress it to 2 hours and you'll be good. How do you grow spiritually? You come here, then the next time I see you, it's after 2 weeks. Then you are where were you? You are just waiting to answer me. I was studying. No, plan your time. Amen. Nobody is rewarded in this life and the life to come without faithfulness. The measure that the master was using is faithfulness. That means he was looking at how they were working. And sometimes it's not even so much about the results. It's about the fact that you tried. I'll give you an example. You come next week. You don't come with anyone. But at least You tried to invite someone, they just refused. You are a better person. When I was doing math, there's what they used to call show your work. You just can't arrive at an answer. On most of the marks, how many are doing accounting? I never balanced, but I passed. How? As long as you do many correct entries, you clear. Even if it doesn't, but you should be balancing things. Don't follow my example in that regard. Amen. Let's just begin to, you wanted to?
On your balancing, I was writing my test, my mock actually.
Right.
Then after that, before that, I never used to get anything correct in my week.
Yeah.
So I used to get so sad and so upset. It used to be so hard. Then Gaffer told me, Pastor just said, your entries need to be correct. That's it. Then I was just like, Then at the end, I did nothing balanced, but my entries were correct. So I got 9.5.
Wow. So it's a confirmation. but balance things, it's good for you. Yeah, but just take life easy. Be happy. Avoid a depressed self, not just people, because maybe you are the problem. Okay. I want you to just bow your heads, begin to thank God for his word and for a good time you've had.